Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. We'll read verses 3 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 3 through 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 through 7. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of a book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And let's pray. Father, thank you. As our preacher reminded us again this morning, how much you blessed this church. We, the people of this church, Lord, over a million people being here in the last 9 years, all the people saved, all the lives changed, and Lord, you did it again this morning. Thank you for that. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, fill us with your power as we listen. May we listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God so that we could go out and help others, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon tonight is entitled, God's Particular Plan for Your Life. God's Particular Plan for Your Life. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:7, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. I want you to think for just a moment. The plan that God had for Jesus was definitely a particular plan. Yes. Jesus had to live the Bible perfectly. He had to stay every step of the way, every breath that he took, every thought that he thought, every word that he said had to be perfect in God's will. For you see, if it were not that way, then he could not be the Savior. He could not take away the sins of the world. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. So the will of God for Jesus was a particular will. No sin. Total submission. 100%. He was to do what God wanted. Now, I may not be able to get you to think this way, but I wish I could. You and I ought to strive for the same thing. Oh no, we'll not achieve it, but we ought to want it. We ought to want it. We ought to want to be in His perfect will. I believe that God has a specific, particular will for you and for me. I have something here. I have a jigsaw puzzle, and it's a Noah puzzle. There's a picture of Noah and the animals here, and all the pieces in this puzzle help to get the job done. Every piece helps get the job done. But this one particular piece has a special purpose and a special place in the overall picture. We're all a part of God's big plan. We're all a part of the big picture. But you are a particular piece, and you fit in a particular place and in a particular way. And some of you need to stop living your life so generally for God and start living your life more specifically for God. Generally, we're to have some spiritual likenesses. You know, if we pull these pieces of this puzzle out, I notice this. They all have a flat back to them. They're all the same in that aspect. They all have on the front where the picture is, they have a glossy front on them. They're the same in that way. They're all the same thickness, if you will. So generally, these pieces have a lot of generalities to them. But wait a minute. Each one also has a specific, particular way that they fit into the big plan of the picture of the puzzle. We, as Christians, there are some general behaviors all of us are expected to practice, and all of us are to achieve certain things in our Christian life. But might I remind you, God created you for a purpose. And not just for that general purpose, but for that specific purpose, for that particular purpose. Are you to the point in your Christian life where you want to be what God created you to be, not just generally, but specifically? That's what I want. I want to fit in to the puzzle where I'm supposed to be, the way I'm supposed to be there. I want to be a good Christian in general, but more than that, I want to be a good Christian specifically. Specifically. You know, folks, let me tell you this. One of the keys to finding God's will for your life is this. You must not have a will of your own. To whatever degree you have a will for your life, to that degree, you will miss God's will. God's will is that you empty yourself of self and fill yourself with Him. And so one of the keys to finding God's will in your life is you must give up your own will. Jesus wanted God's will for His life. John 17:4, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Notice Jesus didn't say, I finished the work that you gave all of us to do. He said, I finished the work you gave me to do. I believe Jesus was generally perfect and specifically or particularly perfect. He not only did that which all of us are to do, He did that which He was sent to do. And the same is true for you and me. There are general behaviors that we're responsible for, and there are some specific things that I'm to do and that you're to do. And most of you would sit out there and say, amen, preacher. Well, Brother Owen's our pastor. We want you specifically in the will of God. Let me say to you, it is as important that you that sat in the pew be in His specific will as it is important that I, who stands in the pulpit, be in His specific will. It's as important that Jeff Owens, pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, as my specific calling of God, it's as important for you to do what you do for God in a specific way as it is for me. His plan, by the way, is best for you. We talk about the will of God. You can't plan a better will. You can't do better. You can't plan better. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh boy, you don't want to miss it. It's good. It's acceptable. It's a perfect will. You can't do better. You want to find the will of God. It's the safest place to be. It's the most productive place to be. It is the most joy-filled place to be. You can't do better. It's our responsibility to seek Him and to seek His particular, specific will for our lives. Listen to this verse. Psalm 143:8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Notice it said the way I should walk, not the way we should walk. Here's somebody that's saying, God, I not only want to generally do what Christians ought to do, I want to specifically do what you created me to do. I think God has that much of a special plan for your life. He created you for a specific reason. Your purpose in life is not just a general purpose. I think it's an exact purpose. I think God is big enough to create a minute-by-minute schedule for your entire life. And that schedule is the safest thing for you to do. God has a plan for every life that is unique. And that means this. If you are accomplishing specifically what God created you to do, that is as big for you if as it is for me to do specifically what God created me to do. My job is to pastor the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm just sure, 100% sure, specifically, particularly, that's what God wants me to do. But wait a minute, Sunday school teacher. Wait a minute, bus captain. Hey, what you're doing should be the specific, particular will of God for your life. And when we both do what we've been called to do, we are both doing the will of God. And that means my job's no more important than yours, and yours is no more important than mine. Now, I'm not going to do yours for you, and you can't do mine for me, but you can do yours for God, and I can do mine for God, and we can be specifically and particularly in the will of God. There are some things that we're all to do. Those general wills of God. There are those things that everybody's supposed to do. For instance, pray. You're supposed to pray. We're all supposed to pray. Everybody here. That's just the general will of God. Everybody's to pray. You know, everybody's to live a clean life. Everybody's to be moral and decent and clean and honest. Everybody's to be faithful to church. That's just the general will of God. That's just what we're supposed to do. I hate to tell you this because some of you haven't accepted it yet. Everybody's supposed to win souls. Everybody's supposed to care about the souls of men. You say, well, that's not my gift. It's not a gift. It's a responsibility. So if you've been waiting for somebody to give you a gift, it's not all about you receiving something. It's all about you giving something. And so, but that's general. That's general. We're all to win souls. We're all to pray. We're all to live clean lives. We're all to be faithful to church. We're all to tithe. We're all to tithe. We're all to tithe. We're all to read the Bible. All of us. We're all to be filled with the Spirit. Not just a preacher. The Bible says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The young, the old, the men, the women. All flesh. We're all to be filled with the Spirit. Everybody that's saved is to be baptized. What are those? These are the things that would be the general responsibilities. They find us then in the general will of God. Now, let me explain something. Obedience to these general expectations, they are the platform that helps us to find His specific or particular will. You're going to have a real hard time finding that extra special thing you're to accomplish if you won't do the average, everyday, general things that everybody's supposed to do. It is the general things of praying and living a clean life and faithful to church and winning souls and tithing and reading your Bible. Those general things get you closer to grasping the specific thing. There's some people say, well, I want that specific, particular thing that I'm supposed to do. It comes by way of obedience to the general behavior of a Christian. God's not going to reveal what we call that great big will for your life until you're willing to be obedient to all those little things that prepare you to accomplish the specific will for your life. I think God has very detailed plans for our lives. You're not to work God into your plan. You're to work you out of His. Let me say it again. You're not to work God into your plan. You're to be working you out of His plan. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you're not supposed to plan your life, what you're going to be, what you're going to do, where you're going to go. You're not to plan it and say, God, I want you to get in on this. No. That's not how it works. God has a plan for your life, and you better be working your opinion and working your attitude out of His plan so He gets 100% from you what He wants. Let me take this thought. I call it God's particular plan for your life. Let me give you something that I think will help you. Number one, I think there's a particular plan for each one of us, every one of us. You say, I just got saved. You think God has something special and particular? Oh, yes. Isn't it exciting?
Yes.
Oh, my. Yes, God has something for you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice, Paul said, I finished my course. He didn't say I finished the course. He didn't say I finished the general course. He said I finished my course. That ought to be your goal. You want to finish your course. That God has a course for your life. Listen to these verses. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm to run my race. There is a race that is set before me. There is a course for that race that God has given me. I believe Paul, God had a particular course for Paul. And Paul said, I not only wanted to live generally the way a Christian should, I wanted that general holy lifestyle to lead me to accomplishing the will of God particularly for me. Let me give you Acts 22:14. It says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. Here it says, chosen thee that thou shalt know his will. I think God has a specific will for you. It is a particular will. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You understand? God's wanting you to keep your eye on him, and he wants to glance, use his eyes to tell you to go a certain way. Any of you ever do any base coaching? Sometimes coaches use eye signals. And what do you want the batter to do? Keep your eye on him. Keep your eye on that coach. Keep your eye on that base coach. God said, you keep your eye on me to the point that if I turn my eye to the left and I want you to turn left, you turn left. It's being coached through eye signals. Did you hear it? He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, you lock in on me. I have a specific, particular purpose for creating you, and I want you to fulfill that purpose. Now, this is in addition to generally serving him. The average Christian, under the sound of my voice, you're just challenged by generally serving him. It's time for some of you to get past general service to God. It's time for you to grow up and say, I don't want to just do what all Christians are supposed to do. I want to do that and add to it. What do you want of me, God? You want me to build a bus route? You want me to win someone to Jesus Christ? You want me to build a Sunday school class? What do you want of me? Not just generally, God. I want it to be more than that. For instance, how many people build an ark in the Bible? One. Are we not glad that Noah locked in on the specific will? One. Went down in history. For what? Not because generally he was a good Christian. Now, God wouldn't have used him to build the ark had he not generally been a good Christian. But God said, you are doing generally what needs to be done. You're doing what all Christians ought to do. And Noah said, but God, I'm surrendered to you. Hey, I'll do what you want me to generally. But then what? And too many of us are satisfied with just generally. I want to be a good Christian just generally. No, there's more to it than that. Right. That is only that which comes before the specific fulfillment of God's will for your life. How many people fought and killed a Goliath in the Bible? One. Probably a good thing that young man, and we often give David credit for being a teenager. If he wasn't, he was a very young man. I'm glad that somebody kept their eyes on God to the point that he not only generally fulfilled the will of God, but he specifically and particularly, that one act was the fulfillment of God's will for David, and he had his eyes on God. How many people preached to Pentecost and had 3,000 people saved in one day? One. I would say there was a particular will for Peter, and a particular will for David, and a particular will for Noah. How many women would be allowed the privilege of in their virgin body carrying the Christ child? One. I believe Mary was what Mary needed to be generally. But I believe there was more to it than that for Mary. I believe that somehow in the will of God, God looked down and said, Mary, you look like a bunch of the other puzzle pieces. You're all supposed to behave in a general certain way. But he said, Mary, boy, do I have a plan for you. You're going to play a special part in the puzzle. He said, oh, Brother Owens, I would like to be a Noah and build an ark, or a David and fight a Goliath, or a Peter and preach a Pentecost, or be used as Mary was. Look, folks, whatever God created you to do, is as important as David fighting Goliath and Noah building the ark and Peter preaching the Pentecost. You need to take what you do and you need to magnify your office and realize the will of God for you is big and important. Some of you need to come out of hibernation and your general Christianity and step up and say, I want to specifically, particularly, be what God wants me to be. Find your course, as Paul did, and stay on it. Run your race, run it. Follow His will, do it. Find the way you're to go, and go that way. So, number one, there is a particular plan for each of us. Number two, God's particular plan for your life is quite detailed. Quite detailed. Step by step. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, that verse, there's two ways of looking at that verse where it uses the word ordered. You might say that's where God is ordering or commanding or demanding our steps. Well, that might be true, but the truth is if you take it far enough, I think God is telling us the order of our steps. You think God, you think the will of God is that detailed for our life? I think it's a day by, I think it's even more than day by day. I think it's step by step.
Yes, sir.
And so you know, not just on Sunday, every day. Every day. Every day, every step. How spiritually detailed are you willing to live your life? So you all know, for your joy, for your peace, for your productivity, if you step by step are wanting to fulfill the particular will of God for your life, you'll have more fulfillment. You'll be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. I promise you that. That's, hey, God has some really big things for us. And so many times we just generally live for God. We don't worry about where we go, what we do. And I'm just telling you, folks, in that general will, there's some blessing. But in the particular will, you get to slay the Goliath. You get to build the ark. You get to preach the Pentecost. You've got to be at the right time, at the right place, doing the right thing. And that is not general Christianity. That is particular, specific. That is the perfect will of God. And I long that for you. Some of you are unhappy. Happy because you're so general.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing the general will of God. I don't want to just do the general will of God. I'm so tired of the lethargy of Christianity. Everybody being satisfied with being average. Let me tell you something, young people. Get some fire in your boat. Go do something for God. Let's turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. God's particular plan for your life is detailed. God will give you an order for your steps. He wants to lead you every single step. You say, Brother Owens, that is impossible. Yes, it is if you walk in the flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, it's very possible. That's why we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We should go nowhere that His will does not direct us. Say nothing that His will does not lead us to say. Do nothing that His will does not tell us to do. And so I said, number one, there's a particular plan for every one of us. Number two, God's particular plan for your life is very detailed. Number three, God's particular plan for your life is continuous.
Yes, sir.
It's continuous. Listen to the verse. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Do you understand all the prosperity there? But that's someone that is continuously in the particular will of God. General Christianity loses so much along the way. Oh, there's blessing when you're living generally for God. Oh, but there is extra special blessing when you are after the specific will of God. Notice though there it said, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Continually. You say, what does that mean? Non-stop.
Yes, right.
Continually means without a break. Not sporadic. See, God's will for your life is not hit and miss. It's hit. It's hit. It's hit. You ever have a spark plug go bad? Got an 8-cylinder car and got one spark plug bad? Boy, that'll booger up the whole thing. Some of you, your spiritual engine's running off of 7 cylinders and it's an 8-cylinder engine. And you're sputtering and backfiring and you don't have any energy spiritually. You see, he said continually. The specific will of God is somebody that says, I don't want to live generally. I won't gather me a few things that I'll do for the Lord and then ignore Him with the rest of my life. No, I've got my eyes on Him all day long, every day. I want continual guidance all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long, all life long. Hey, children, you ought to want to be in the will of God. You children, protect yourselves and stay in the will of God. And teenagers, don't you get this idea that, well, in my teenage years, I'm going to live it up. And I'll have my fun and I'll sow my wild oats. You'll sow your wild oats on Saturday night and wake up Sunday morning and hate the harvest. You say, I'm going to go out and paint the town red. You'll hate the color red on Monday morning if you're not careful. You see, the will of God is particular, it's specific, and it's not to be bypassed by children, not to be bypassed by teenagers, it's not to be bypassed by an adult. Hey, senior citizen, there is still a particular will for your life. And you've heard me say this before. You may not be able to do everything that you once could do, but you can do something, and you better find out what the particular will of God is for your life. And that you may get mad at me, but senior citizens, I'll help you. Yeah, I say things like this from time to time. If you're still alive, there is still a will of God for your life, and you ought to be doing something for God. Something. Continual. This particular plan for your life is continuous. Continual, without break. There's no break in the teenage years. There's no break. Hey, there's no break over the summer. You get out of Martinsburg Christian Academy, that doesn't mean that we go out and live it up and do whatever we want and live any way we want. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not being continually in His will. Continue without a break. You young people that are out of high school, at your college age, can I warn you? People college age really mess their lives up because you say, well, I can't wait till I'm 21. It's legal for me to drink and I can go buy cigarettes when I'm 18. Those things are still sin. You say, but you know how the college life is. You want to party and go down to the beach and strip yourself naked and go to all the big parties and everything. I'm telling you, it's a continual will. Continual will. Continual will. And not just a general, but a specific and a particular will of God for your life. Just because you're 18 years of age and the United States government says this is legal or that's legal at your age, it doesn't make you right with God. So, God's particular plan, He has one for each of us. God's particular plan is detailed. It's a step-by-step thing. It's a continuous thing. And I believe it's definite. I believe it's specific. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says this, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Remember earlier when I told you God said, I want to lead you with eye signals. You just be looking right in my eyes. And every time I turn to the right, you know what? I want you to go right. Now He said, I'm going to walk up behind you. I'm going to whisper in your ear. Turn right. Turn left. Turn back. Hear it? And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left hand, God is saying, this is not just a general Christianity thing. Here's what some of you have done. You've gathered up a few general things about Christianity. You've gathered them. You say, well, I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. I'll go to someone. I'll go to church. That's pretty much it. Now, let me launch and go do what I want to do with my life. That is not the will of God for your life. That is a general behavior that is the expectation of every Christian. Now, you go find out where you fit into the puzzle and you be what God wants you to be. The reason why churches do not reach the great goals that God has for them is because they rear general Christians, not specific Christians. He uses His word to lead us. He uses His spirit to lead us. He'll say, turn right. We're to turn right. He'll say, turn left. We're to turn left. He'll whisper in our ear. If you've ever watched the news, you watch political figures, you watch speech givers. If you ever notice that they have turned away from you and they will not let you see either their right or their left, the left side of their head, I'll tell you why. They have a little receiver in their ear and they have somebody in the background. And while you're watching them on TV, somebody in the background is prompting them and they're getting instruction through their ear. That's how it's supposed to be with you and God. All your decisions, all your words, all that you do, there ought to be a prompting going on, something going inside your ear, so that everything you do, every way you behave is in God's will. Let me finish, and I promise I'll finish quickly. I believe that God's particular plan for our lives is suited to God's particular creation of us. Let me say it again. God's particular plan for our lives is suited to God's particular creation of us. Oh, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But listen, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." When God created you, he created you not just for the general behavior, but for the particular, specific fulfillment of a will for your life. Now, Christian, find it. Find it and do it. See, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, so that we could do that which we were before ordained to do. And that's not talking about someone being predestined to heaven or hell. It's talking about God created you for a purpose, and you're to do what God created you to do. I think he specifically created you to do some special works. I got to tell a story. It'll take a minute, but I'll get there. I used to go gather up walnuts. Gather up walnuts, and you've heard me tell some of this before. You gather up walnuts, they got that green husk on the outside of them. My grandpa told me, he said, "Well, if you want to get rid of those husks, just throw those walnuts all over the driveway. Take your car, drive back and forth over it, and that green husk will come off. You'll have nothing but the nut left." Well, I thought that was a great idea. Took a big old bucket of those things, threw them all over the driveway. I wanted to watch what I was doing. I like to see my own progress. I popped the door of my car open, and I gunned that thing, started to run backwards, forgot that there was a tree right by that door. I would have been fine had I not had my door open, but I had my door open. That tree grabbed a hold of the door of my car. I wasn't paying any attention. I backed up until I seen I'd take the husk off all those walnuts. At the same time, I was taking the door off my car. It bent the hinge of my car till that door bent it all the way around until it touched the front bumper. I told that story a couple years ago. Randy Summers, He's a machinist and does fabricating and things. He built me a walnut husk remover. It is so neat. You put your walnut in there, you pull this little lever, it comes down, it skins them right off. It is just, it's fantastic. It was there's not another one like it anywhere in the world. This one is special made by a master machinist. It was made in a special way to perform a special purpose. And just so you all know, you were created by the master creator. You were created for a very special purpose, and you are to fulfill that purpose in your life. I believe there are people in here. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're fulfilling that purpose. And you're a bus captain. You're a greeter. You work here, there, around the church. Hey, God didn't create anybody to set. That's general. We all set. Oh, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. These works, remember, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? The good works he planned us to accomplish in our lives. These good works are suited to our talents, the abilities he's helped us to have, some of which we develop, and all with his energy and grace and mercy. These works are suited to your personality. These works are suited to your ability. Look, folks, there have been many great pastors in history, but I believe that God put Charles Haddon Spurgeon in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London specifically. That's why the work was so great. He had to do the general things to qualify for the specific thing that was the great will of God for his life. There have been many missionaries in history. Many great missionaries. I believe that God put David Livingston in Africa specifically. I believe that before God would use David Livingston in a great way, he had to generally do what God wanted him to do. But when he was behaving in a holy, separated, godly fashion, God said, if you want more, I have a specific purpose, not just a general purpose for you. And David Livingston went down in history as a missionary to the people in Africa. There have been many music directors that God has used. But I believe that God took Homer Rodehaver in revivals and put him with Billy Sunday in a very particular and specific way. I believe that Rodehaver had to have the right philosophy about music. I believe that he had to be right with God and read his Bible and pray and walk with God. But hey, there are people everywhere that do that. But that was the general behavior. But the specific place for him, God was able to place him in it because of proper general behavior. I think there have been many gospel teams in history. But I think God put Elisha with Elijah specifically and particularly. What a team. They went down in history.
Yes, sir.
I think there have been many great evangelists in history. But I think God took a Dr. John R. Rice and specifically put him into the Sword of the Lord newspaper, placed it in the puzzle. And the name Dr. John R. Rice and the Sword of the Lord, they are synonymous. They will go down in history. They will always be forgotten. Now, a lot of people have written a lot of newspapers and a lot of people have lived in a very general way with their Christianity. But when you do the general and submit yourself to the particular, God has a way of putting you right where you belong, when you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do. Boy, that's what you ought to want for your life. That's what you ought to want for your life. You see, I have a puzzle here. Beautiful picture. In general, there are a lot of similarities in the pieces. They all have a glossy cover on the front, very flat back, same thickness, a lot of generalities. But they fit into the puzzle in a very specific way. Many of you have the general similarities of Christ. But if you really want to be like Christ, you will have to want to do God's will for you perfectly. Because you have to remember, in Hebrews 10:7 it said, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." He said in John 17:4, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus generally was perfect. Specifically was perfect also. The general made the specific possible. That's what made him the Savior. And if you and I are going to be like him, we need not just do what generally Christians are supposed to do. Then we need to specifically fulfill the will of God in our lives. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again. There's no doubt in my mind, specifically, for sure, 100%, God wants you to trust Christ as Savior. I'm positive of that. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here and you've never been saved, we'll welcome you to the Savior. Some of you Christians, I hope somehow the Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of your mind tonight. And I hope somehow there are some people in here that will step up. Stop being satisfied with generally being a good Christian. And decide to fulfill the will of God specifically for your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? Is there anybody in here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me, preacher." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. God bless you. I see a hand." Somebody else, you say, "I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again." Well, if that's you, when we give the altar call in a minute, you just leave your place and you come forward. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you come. If you need to rededicate your life, you come. Maybe this morning's sermon affected you and you need to come and respond to it. But here's the question. I wonder how many people here tonight find yourselves, and maybe didn't even realize it, you just found yourself generally serving God. But you say, "You know, preacher, I see it. I see it. There is a step up in Christianity, and I don't generally just want to do what I'm supposed to do. I specifically want to fulfill that will. I want to be the piece of the puzzle that is unique, and I want to do that unique work that God called me to do. Is there somebody that would raise your hand and say, boy, I'm enlightened to that. That's helped me. And you'll raise your hand. God bless you. If whether you're in the altar or on the lower floor, if you need this altar tonight, you come. Young people, let me tell you something. Take your life and don't waste it. Try to get in that continual step-by-step mode. From now until the day you die, you'll be happier and more productive, I promise you. I'm going to ask that the instrumentalists begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, please sing a song of invitation for us. If you need the altar, you come. You come. If you're not saved, you come. If you never follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you need to make public your salvation, you come. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I didn't realize there was more to it. I believe that. I believe there are people who would not know. But maybe you need to come and say, Lord, thank you. I now see I was created for more than just a general purpose. This isn't just general Christianity. It's specific. Jesus fulfilled the will of God for Jesus' life. I believe that David needed to slay a Goliath and Noah needed to build an ark. I believe that Peter needed to preach Pentecost and Mary needs to give birth to a Christ child. I believe the Word of God is perfect. I believe that God knows what God's doing. And God is not a respecter of persons. If God had a plan for Abraham's life, God has a plan for yours. Of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And again, I'll assure you, it's safe in the will of God, my friend. It's safe. You're not to be working God into your plan. You're to be working you out of God's plan to the point where it's not what you want, but it's 100% what He wants. Say, God, I'll let you have a little influence. You have to let Him have all influence. Stop letting yourself have influence. God's never lied. God's never cheated. Oh, we're liars and cheaters. There's so many things we're responsible for that taints the human race. Trust God. Trust God. Trust His will. The average person that would come to me for counsel, all they want is generalities. Generally, generally, generally. Not very many people really want to know, is this a very, 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 very best thing? Is this a thing I ought to for sure, for sure, for sure do? Just generalities. Would it be okay? Can I get away with it? I don't want to just do what I can get away with. I want to be what I'm supposed to be. I want to fulfill His will. Not half-fill, fulfill. One more time through the song, please, choir. This is the last time through the song. God bless you, folks. Go ahead and have a seat there. If I